Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And the first guest I have today, we are going to talk Irish chain quilts. And I'm very excited because Melissa Corey, who writes over at Happy Quilting, has written a brand new book called Irish Chain Quilts. And they are phenomenal quilts with all kinds of really interesting different ways. And so, you know, this is a basic quilt. And I'm really excited to hear how she came up with this and what it's all about. So welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you so much, Pat. Thanks for having me.
I know we got to see each other just a couple of weeks ago. That was really nice.
Yes, yes. Market was a blast.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, you know, the Irish chain has been around a long time. Lots of quilters have not made one yet. And your book is full of really fresh, different ways. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, Irish chain's always been important to me. I kind of have a personal love for it because it was the quilt that my mother made me for my wedding, which was actually her first quilt that she made. It was Eleanor Burns' Irish Chain in a Day, Chain in a Day. And it was actually hilarious because while we were at market, I was there doing book signings, and all of a sudden I heard somebody walk by and say, "Oh, I love Irish Chain." And I thought, I know that voice. And there's Eleanor Burns standing right there. And I said, "Hold the book signing," and whipped out the book and showed her the picture in the front of the book that has that quilt that my mom made for me, and got to share with her that that was actually the beginning of my entire quilting journey. Was an Irish chain quilt. It was my introduction into quilting, and my mom was the one that taught me how to quilt. So it's kind of always been a personal favorite. Mm-hmm. And so when I knew that I wanted to start working on a book, it was just immediately, I got to do an Irish chain one. And so
that is so fun that you got to show it to Eleanor in person. I mean,
it was, she signed right next to the little picture. Definitely a treasure now.
That's right. You have to get a little shrine box for this book with all the signatures.
That's right.
Yeah. So tell me, you know, one of the things is that people think Irish chain, I know even like traditional Irish chains, there's several ways that you can build out the chain. So it's like either skinny or it's big and thick and chunky. When you started planning for this, had you already made a bunch of variations? You know, what was your process?
Yeah, I actually, when I first started my blog, of course, like I said, I've been drawn to the Irish chain for a long time. So when I first started designing my very first quilt, I was automatically trying to take the Irish chain and just kind of tweak it a little bit and make it a little more contemporary. Actually, my first Irish chain quilt that I designed was called an Irish braid, and it's actually in the book. It was one of my tutorials that was on the Moda Bake Shop, and then I adjusted it and tweaked it as I learned more, and it came as one of my patterns now. And it actually, the publishers liked it so much, they wanted to include that in the book. So that was kind of the start of the design concept in the book. When I first decided that I wanted to write Irish chain quilts, I really wanted to make it for all quilters. I talked a lot at market about this, that I divided the book into four sections. There's a twist on tradition where you're going to find more traditional quilts with just slight tweak to it. Modern patchwork section where you're going to see a lot more of those bold colors, negative space, and asymmetrical designs. Improvisational piecing, you know, where we're going to be doing a lot of stacking and flashing and just having fun breaking the rules. And then the last section in the book is applique chains. And that's, of course, going to be applique, lots of fun raw edge applique, which really made it fun when I was designing the book because I knew I wanted to really push all four of these sections and really push outside of my own design comfort zone so that I was trying all different types of design, which really opened up the avenues of creativity for me. So if I saw something and I thought, oh, well, this really won't work as a traditional type of quilt, but then I can put it over in this section and tweak it up and make it work in this other section. So really, there was just inspiration abounding everywhere because no matter what I thought, there was definitely a section that it would fit into the book.
Now, did they all make it in the book or do you still have a little pile of ideas?
There's still a little pile of ideas. There was actually two finished quilts that that were made, and just because of the length of the book, mm-hmm. they didn't make the book either. So that's fun that I have two other quilts that will, one of them has already actually turned into a pattern, and another one was given away to a good friend. But yeah, there's always that extra pile of designs, right? Don't all of us have just a notebook somewhere full of sketches?
I know. They do. We all do. I mean, even, you know, everybody, every quilter, if it's not something they sketch, it's a pile of somebody's designs they want to make.
Right. Little old napkins where you saw something at a restaurant or a bathroom tile floor. And, you know, I think my camera's full of, on my phone, of pictures from tile floors in bathrooms.
I know. I actually had one of those, and I was showing some trip pictures to my dad, and he's like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's bathroom tiles." That's
it's quilt inspiration, you know. This is what we do.
That's what we do. Tell me about the colors in the book. You love to work with color. Did you plan them to be more high contrast quilts? You know, describe them a little bit.
Yes. I absolutely was going for high contrast, just because in all of the designs, I really wanted the chain to stand out, because that's mm-hmm. the huge part of the design. So they're all pretty much going to have a white or a neutral or a low volume background. And then they're going to have beautiful, beautiful colored chains on them. And most of them, well, not most of them, but I'd say about half of them are definitely pre-cut friendly. I love pre-cuts mm-hmm. because it just takes all these wonderful colors and combines them perfectly in wonderful designs. And then the other half are going to be basic yardage. But those quilts are where they're going to be more like 3 to 4 different prints that are used repetitively in the chain to really emphasize the actual chain design.
Yeah, so. One of the really strong graphic quilts, which I think is so fabulous, is called String of Pearls, where it's mm-hmm. basically
the black and white one.
It's like a two-color quilt. Have you experimented with that one in where it's a little bit more scrappy?
I have actually designed it up EQ7 and done it a little with the idea of doing it more scrappy. I think all of my quilts I already have, like, okay, I want to try this one with a dark background. Okay, I want to try this one. You know what? You make them once, and then it's like, oh, and now I want to make them with every other fabric that there is out there. So,
I know. That's that's craziness, isn't it? We all think like that. It's like, oh, we could have done this. When you get ready to pick fabrics, what's your process, Melissa, for gathering, you know, up for a project?
Oh, that is a good question. You know, most of the time it's going to be, I set it on the shelf for a little while when it comes, and I admire it and I pet it, right? We all pet it and we love it. And you just wait for the right project to come by. And I think, like almost all of these quilts, when I was, you know, I had the designs drafted up and I thought, okay, now I need to go find fabrics. And I started looking, and you're just almost drawn to it. Like, you just know that's the right fabric for this quilt. That's the right fabric for this quilt. And I don't know. I don't know if I have an actual process. It just always seems like something just is the right fit. It's just the right match.
Right.
If that makes
right.
any sense at all.
No, it does. I think it does. I think a lot of us collect fabric stacks. And, you know, they sort of have to ferment a while. You know, you got to put things in to take things out. Yes. You can't just use them right away.
Yes. Every once in a while, something comes along that it's like, okay, that has to be used and cut right now, like tomorrow. Like, put everything else mm-hmm. on the back burner, and I'm cutting into this tomorrow. But most of the time, I like to sit and pet it and admire it for a little while.
It has to decorate the shelves. That's what I always say.
You know.
Now, your website is Happy Quilting. It's happyquiltingmelissa.com mm-hmm. if you're going to the link. You have a lot of very wonderful tutorials. What is one of the most popular ones, or one of your favorite, either way?
Oh, goodness. One of my all-time favorites is the one that I did for the Moda Bake Shop. It's called Read With Me. And it's a book quilt. It kind of looks like, you know, those library mm-hmm. book quilts. But the quilting I did on it really was the start of me stretching my boundaries in quilting. Mm-hmm. It's got a castle up one side and a beanstalk. And it's my daughter's favorite. And it's probably my favorite because she climbs up in the rocker next to that quilt that's hanging on the wall and always asks me to read her a story. So it just kind of has that sentimental. As far as the book, my all-time favorite quilt, you know, it's hard to choose, of course.
Of course.
But if somebody were to twist my arm and make me choose, it would be the quilt on the cover that's called End of the Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this one's so important to me, I'm such a sentimental little person, but it's got a scrap of fabric from every quilt that I've ever made.
Oh, my gosh.
It.
Really?
And so when I look at it, I can see this quilt and that quilt and this quilt and that quilt.
Yeah.
And so it just, it's really, really special to me. I'm like, oh, when it was hanging at market, I'd be like, oh, yeah. I just wanted to keep walking over so that I could think about all the other quilts that I've made over the years.
How did you manage to keep a piece of fabric for every quilt you ever made?
That's crazy, huh? That's
because
my scrap bins overfloweth. There were a few that I had to dig down a little bit and be like, oh, yeah, that's right. But
My gosh. So you didn't actually keep a box and you said, every quilt I make, I'm going to throw a piece in here for later.
No. That's just I just started pulling out of my scrap bins. And then when I realized it was accumulating so much, I thought, oh, I need to make sure I represent everything. So I have a little quilt archive on my blog that kind of keeps track of the quilts and each year I make them and when I complete them. And so I just started checking them off, saying, okay, do I have something from this one? Do I have something from this one? And went on down the list because, you know, I was an accountant before I was a mom and a quilter. And so once something starts that way, it's like everything has to be balanced.
I'm just going to ask you, what you are so organized if you're like that. That is wonderful, Melissa. I just love it.
I don't know if my kids always love it, but, you know, everything in the house has to have a place. Everything in my sewing room, I am one of those people that you have to tidy up the sewing room before you can start sewing in it kind of thing. I just work much better in not the organized mess. I need organized.
No, I get that. I totally get that. This has been so much fun.
Thank you. It has.
You know, your book is fabulous. I think people are going to love seeing some really creative variations. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I hope they love it, too. I really had fun creating it, and it's really fun to get to share it now.
Well, everybody needs to go meet Melissa out at her website, and we'll be right back after the break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Like American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, and giveaways. Find us at facebook.com/APQ Magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I can't tell you how many times when somebody in my Facebook group or somebody at American Patchwork and Quilting's page asks for a quilt design that the inboxjaunt.com is clicked to. This is Lori Kennedy's site where she has tons of free motion quilting designs and tutorials. And so I am thrilled that Lori is here to talk to me. Thank you, Lori, for joining me.
Thank you, Pat, for inviting me.
Oh, this is so, I got to meet you as well at market. I was so excited. I'm so glad you stopped in.
It was an amazing event, and I was glad to get to meet you and it was very interesting to meet a lot of different people that I've seen on online or their photos in books and things, and get to actually see them in person at Quilt Market. That was the first time I'd ever attended, so I thought it was a very exciting event.
Yeah, the first time is like you will never forget being there the first time. And then the second and third and fourth are really similar. It's like so now you get to go again. So let's talk about your site. Did you ever think that so many people would want to come and learn the free motion quilting tips that you were sharing?
Really, Pat, I had no idea. When I started the blog in August of 2012, I didn't even know I was going to be a quilt blog. And that's why there's not even the word quilting anywhere in my title. But I started out, I was just playing with some photography, but I'd always been a quilter. So as long as I can remember, at least, I'd been quilting. Mm-hmm. So I naturally shared a few of my quilts. And it was interesting to see that each time I would put a quilt on my blog, my numbers in terms of views, mm-hmm. you can tell how many people have viewed your blog, would really rise. And then I did a tutorial, a free motion quilt tutorial, a few of those, and each time those got great interest on Pinterest. And so I started to do it regularly, and that by far is the most popular item on my blog. And that's the Tuesday tutorials. Every Tuesday I have step-by-step photos of a new motif. So those are a lot of fun.
It's just amazing to me, you know, that people are so generous. I mean, really, you are very generous to spend your time to do that and to share with people, because you're not only just doing, like, the tutorial, but you're very encouraging.
Well, I think of it's like when you've read a really good book and you just want to talk about it more and more. You know, did you read that book? That's how I feel about quilting. I love free motion quilting. And so whenever I get someone else excited about it, it just reinforces all of that. So it's constantly being reinforced. People like the motifs, and so I like showing them.
Now, you personally, I wanted to share this with people because, you know, I think they come and they see one portion of each of us. You know, they come to your site or your Facebook page or somewhere. But you have a whole nother part that you're really excited about that you told me was your modern whole cloth that you're doing. And I just want to be sure people, like, get to know that about you. And tell me a little bit about what they are.
Well, each of the tutorials really works into a larger picture, a larger quilt. And I usually just section off, you know, this one part is the Tuesday tutorial, but usually they stem from my favorite part of quilting is really to take a solid piece of fabric and turn it into a composition using different types of threads, and using that to create, again, different types of compositions. Sometimes they're just long table runners, but other times they're things that can be framed. I think you have a picture of an eagle that I did, incorporating all different types of stitches and threads. And that's really fun. That's the most fun for me because it doesn't require a lot of cutting and stitching, or piecing, I should say. Instead, I just can sit down, I put my pieces of fabric together, and I can sit down and sew. That's my favorite part, to just sit and sew.
Now, what kind of machine are you?
I like doing nails the most.
Are you using a home domestic machine, or are you using like a larger throat machine for your free motion?
Well, I have several machines, but they're all domestic sewing machines.
Okay.
I have three Berninas. Mm-hmm. One is I have the Bernina 820, which does have a larger harp, but it still is a sit-down sewing machine. It's not a long harp.
Right.
And I think that's one thing that is a relief to some people to realize that you can do all these very elaborate designs on your own home sewing machine. And in fact, I think that is the best sewing machine for you to learn free motion quilting on because you know it the best. So I think you'll always have the best results and use the machine you're most comfortable with.
That's a really, really good point because people will think, oh, I have to have something else. And actually you don't. You can you know, most home machines, if they're a decent machine, will do a really, really nice free motion. What are you finding is the number one thing people ask you? Do you have like this one thing like you should write like just a paragraph on every time?
No, you know, one of the things I do have on Fridays, not every Friday, but often on a Friday, I have something called Open Mind Friday, and we have a variety of questions. Anybody can ask the question and everyone answers. And it's really interesting. I don't pretend to be an expert about everything. I'm an expert about what works for me. Mm-hmm. But you have to realize that free motion quilting, that everybody faces different challenges based on the type of sewing machine or the project they have. So Open Mind Fridays have been really interesting. There are quilters from all over the world. Over 200 countries have been represented on the blog. And usually I prompt with a question, and then we have, you know, as many people as who can will answer. And so we get answers for all kinds of different questions. And I'm always surprised at the questions we receive. So, you know, I guess I do get asked, the number one question is, do I use a home sewing machine or a long arm? So, and we've already discussed that. Do I use a stitch regulator? And I do not. And then it's just, what kind of thread do you use? What kind of batting do you use? Mm-hmm. And I will tell you what I use, but at the same time, I think part of the process is figuring out what works for you.
Individual. I agree, because what your machine, what your skill set could be totally different. And now, are you using a lot of cotton thread? Do you prefer cotton, or do you work in a lot of other thread content?
The only thing that I would limit, and I don't even limit that, but I like to tell people don't settle for using the thread that you use for construction, because that's a serviceable choice for free motion quilting, but it usually isn't the best choice. There are all kinds of fibers, from silk, rayon, polyester, cotton. All of them have different properties, so it depends on what you're trying to achieve with your quilting. For example, a lot of times you just want to create texture. In that case, you want a finer weight thread and a thread that matches the color of your quilt. When you want your quilting to show, you know, you're stitching a beautiful eagle, you want contrasting thread in a contrasting color and a heavier weight. So I try to give tips like that. I do not limit any. I will use any type of thread depending on what I'm trying to achieve. The key is you have to learn about thread. Thread is really, it's a subject to study within quilting.
It is. It totally
is. You have to read
is.
The label. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the people, I call them the non-thread junkies. There's thread junkies and non-thread junkies. You know, the...
Well, I've recently become a thread junkie, and it really stemmed from learning about thread. And when you, one of the things I recommend is pull out as many different fibers as you have. Look for fibers in your sewing kit. See how many different fibers you can find. Put them all on the table at one time and look at what they look like. Some are shiny, some are heavy, some are matte. And if you just do that, you've given yourself, you know, a primer on threads just by looking what's in your own kit, and you don't even realize. I think people go to the store and just grab a piece of or a spool of thread that looks pretty to them. But when you start to really look at what those threads can do for you, it's really amazing.
Yeah, and doing tests, you know, that you just take the spool, put it on, put a quilt sandwich under there, and create something, you know, just create a little sample.
Create samples. Well, this winter, in January, I think it was, we started on my blog. If everyone wants to look at the top of my blog, you'll find something called the Quilt Along. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we did. We created a beautiful sampler, and each box in the sampler was a spool with a new thread on it. And it was a way to compare different threads, and then hang it in your sewing room so you have something pretty in your sewing room and it's a quick reference.
Oh, hey,
so
that's
if anyone
perfect.
Wants to look at that, that's a really fun project.
Oh, that is really, really perfect. Yeah, it's the sampler things. I mean, I just can't stress that enough either, that you have to try it. You can't just look at the spool in your hand and know anything about it.
Right.
So I have just one more question to wrap up because we're almost done. Tell me, when do you do a doodle thing too, which is just incredible. It's awesome that you share that. What day is that?
On Thursdays, we do a little doodle tutorial. And it's to help people. The fastest way you can get better at free motion quilting is to practice on paper first. Mm-hmm. And so I just give prompts and different ideas on things that you can practice doodling, and then you can incorporate that into your quilting. Doodling helps create muscle memory, but it also helps you learn about spacing and how to work out some of the little details when you're quilting. So that's another really great tip for learning free motion quilting is to develop a quilt or a doodle habit.
Perfect. Lori, this has been so much fun.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you and to all your fans. I hope they'll all come over to the inbox jaunt and join the conversation.
I hope so. I know I do. So this has been great fun, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
We'll be right
back.
Bye, Kat.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me in 2015 for a brand new video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Lock. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and the show is sponsored by Moda Fabrics. When you can visit them out at the Moda Bake Shop or modafabrics.com. They also do a fabulous blog that is got all kinds of really, really great information and tips, and also behind the scenes. We all love behind the scenes, so that's at the Moda's blog. So I am really excited to talk to Rebecca Bryan of Bryan House Quilts. Her quilts are just fabulous. I love the style. I love what she writes about. And she's just kind of fearless with color, which I find, you know, just exciting. And I thought we're going to spend a lot of time this afternoon on the second half of the show really exploring color and talking about how she works with things. She has great tips. So thank you for being here, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm just, I'm very excited, very excited. I need to know, though, first, a little bit about how did you start making quilts? I don't think I know that.
Sure. Well, my mom really taught me how. When I was a kid, she was always on her own sewing machine. She sewed clothes, and then she began to dabble in quilt making. Mm. So she at first taught me how to sew clothes for myself, following the patterns. And then when I went to college, I had my first apartment, I think my sophomore year of college, mm-hmm. and I wanted to make a quilt for my apartment. So we spent the summer making a quilt for my first apartment. That was really my first official quilt. So My mom has taught me how.
Did you also make clothing?
I did. I did a lot of clothes making when I was probably in middle school, right around mm-hmm. that awkward time when nothing fit. And so none of my experiences with clothes making at that time were very positive. I remember this white skirt with red polka dots that I just loved, but the hem turned out to be way too short. So when I finally finished it up, it was just not working.
Sounds like my clothes making. I was like, I wore them once. I would make them, wear them once, and then I'd make something else. Mm-hmm. It's just like, had to keep moving on that part.
Yeah.
So when you've made that quilt, you know, the one quilt, did you then sort of get hooked, or did that happen later that you started making a lot more quilts?
Well, I liked the process, but the fabrics that we picked out were kind of, they're okay. I wasn't crazy mm-hmm. about them. So I made quilts here and there. I think right after that, I picked up one of the red work pieces and I spent the rest of my college days, embroidering those 16 red works. And then when I was finished, it was, something that I just turned into a quilt. But again, the color was, you know, not my favorite. It didn't really grab me. But once I start, and then I made a few baby quilts for friends.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I discovered the, I guess, more modern fabrics, then I was just hooked. There was just this enormous amount of solid, quality solid fabrics and just really cute fabric lines out there. So once I saw those, I was definitely hooked.
You were on your way. Did you go to a quilt shop to discover that? You know, I'm always curious how people kind of found the thing that made them get hooked, you know?
I think there was a few local quilt shops that had fabrics here and there. There's a local quilt shop by me called the Quilted Fox that has a lot of solid, lot of the Kona solids that I loved. When I started making these baby quilts, I had a blog for my kids, and then once I started getting into quilting, I started my quilting blog, Brian House Quilts, and started to connect with the other quilters out there, and that's when I think I started seeing what else was out there beyond what was just local to me.
You know, the internet's like that, isn't it? It just opens up a world. Because, you know, where can we, like, wake up in the morning and see what they just made, you know, 5 minutes ago in Australia when we live the other side of the world? Did you start following other people's, you know, blogging has changed a bit from a few years back. So did you make a lot of friends when you first started writing on yours?
Yeah, this was way back in 2009 or 10, which seems so long ago. And again, it was so different even those few years ago. It was hard for me to really make connections with people that were already established. So I made a few friends, and I followed a ton of other quilting bloggers. And there's so many talented people out there. Really,
well, that's
great.
Yeah, there's so many now that it's hard to... you can't really scan them all like you could in the beginning. You could just sort of go to your, you know, the one kind of group of them. And then now they're just, there's so many, so many. Tell me a little bit about the style of your quilts.
Well, I think the one thing that I truly just love is a pattern. I really like tessellations and patterns that are just one shape, like a star or even a hexagon, and just repeated over and over again. So I like to play with one shape. And again, I love color, so I love to play with color.
So what part of color, you know, how are you approaching it? Like, let's say when you're collecting for yourself, you know, Do you buy for things you're missing? Do you buy just for projects? How do you approach getting your collections of fabric?
Well, right now I don't really have that big collection relative to other quilters out there. I do have it divided by color. So I've got my pinks and my reds and my oranges and my yellows and so on. And they're all grouped together. And then I've got my solids are separated out.
So you keep your solids separated from your prints, even though... So do you use them together?
Sometimes I will use them together.
So mostly you're just doing either solids or prints in one quilt?
Yeah, I'll use them together. I love the traditional 1930s quilts that have the solid that matches the feed sack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like that type of thing. And then, you know, I use solids in my quilts, too, by themselves.
So tell me a little bit about the rainbow phenomena. I know your quilt is called your book is called Modern Rainbow, but I want to talk a little bit about that sort of trend of rainbow things. When did you, have you always personally loved rainbows? Has that been your thing?
I have always loved rainbows. I wouldn't say it's a thing. I don't know if I'd be known for rainbows, but you know, every time I'd walk into a store, be it the Sharpie markers that are arranged in color order, I just have to pick it up and, oh, my gosh, look at these colors. They're just so fantastic together. Or, you know, a row of sweaters that are arranged in color order. I just have to have every color of sweater. So I've always appreciated things in color order.
When did you first start noticing that there were actually a lot of people doing quilts? I mean, obviously you wrote your book. It was just published. So that means at least a year ago you were, you know, delivering it. And then before that you were making them. So for you, it's been a little bit longer process. But when did you first start noticing online that there are a lot of people attracted to quilts with that rainbow effect right now?
Well, remember the farmer's wife? So I never finished it, but I started the farmer's wife, and I did, I think, 36 or 40 quilt blocks, and my thing with the farmer's wife was going to do a rainbow of quilt blocks. So each, I think I have a pretty good rainbow of quilt blocks, so I should go back and finish it. So I think that was around 2010. And then I made a rainbow plus quilt, I think maybe summer of 2013.
Okay. So it's been a little while for you that you started really.
Yes. No. And I had my idea in December of 2013, I think. Is that right? Maybe it was 2012.
For the book?
Yeah.
So when you did the book. So let's talk a little bit about how you get those colors together for a rainbow, because your book has a really nice section in it defining the spectrum and working with different types of fabrics. For solids, it's pretty obvious what the color is. But many of us don't work just with solids. You know, we like to use printed fabric. So talk to me a little bit about the process for getting colors together on printed fabrics, you know, where there's more than one color, actually.
So one of the things that I wanted to do with the rainbow quilts in my book was to show different ways you can use the rainbow. So when I was doing these different fabric pulls, sometimes for me it's easy to put them in order, but I wanted to, you know, push the envelope a little bit and make it a little bit more challenging and visually interesting. So there's a lot of different ways that one can use the rainbow, and they don't have to be perfect rainbows. I think rainbow quilts that are a little bit out of order are actually a little bit more interesting because it catches the viewer's eye a little bit more.
So when you mean that, like you would have like one color that's not really where it's supposed to be, like in something
It would be the same color, but maybe the tone would be a little bit different. So if the rainbow's in a color order and all the tones are the same, then maybe there's one quilt in the throne room where I played with a tone on the green side just to make the green stand out a little bit more.
Okay. So something where it's just maybe like maybe one person would actually switch them, but you don't. You leave them.
Right. It's, yeah, the order would be debatable.
Yeah, debatable. That's like, yeah. Let's debate that color order. Yeah. I know that a lot of people will say, oh, we'll use the color wheel and stuff like that. Like, my brain doesn't work for the color wheel. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. I look at it and I learn about it and I'm like, I still don't understand that. What can you do to help people like me who are color wheel challenged to get things in order?
Oh gosh.
we're beyond hope. Is that it?
You know, do you use a color wheel tool then?
So like I could have one sitting there, but I wouldn't really be like, you know, understanding all the little ins and outs of it.
Yeah. But you could use a tool. What I like to do is if I've got a fabric pull that I'm not loving it,
mm-hmm.
I'll add more colors to it. So mm-hmm. if the stack as is, it just feels too harsh and kind of maybe I'm just not satisfied. Maybe it's too harsh and it hurts my eye a little bit. Then I'll add more colors to it to give it more texture and to take the pressure off the colors as is and maybe the attention off the colors and mm-hmm. add in more colors to draw the attention away. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. So you just keep adding and subtracting until it's sort of like your gut feels like it's now flowing well.
Right. Or if there's a color that I'm just not loving, and I just mm-hmm. can't, nothing's working, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not a...
It's easier than trying to force it, isn't it? To just
right.
find something else.
And it's another thing I like to do is our test blocks. Mm-hmm. So I have several lonely test blocks that are just, no, I don't love it. And they're in my cabinet because I feel guilty getting rid of them, but... they just can't see the light of day because they're just not good colors.
I think we all have those test box, Rebecca.
Yeah.
That's like, well, for whatever reason, you know, we try something out and it just didn't work. But that's a really, really good thing to do for any quilt is to test either construction or, in this case,
right.
color placement, right?
Right. And sometimes something in my head.
We're going to take a break. So hold that thought till we come back. We'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking to Rebecca Bryan of Bryan House Quilts. We're concentrating this afternoon on color and even working with rainbow quilts because that's what her book is all about. So, Rebecca, I totally forget what we were talking about just before we took the break, and I told you to hold that thought.
Test blocks.
Test blocks. There we go. Thank you. What was the other tip? You had another tip for test blocks.
Oh, I was just going to say that sometimes I'll have this idea of how to use a color in a block, and I'll test it out, and it's just, no. So, yeah, nothing really important.
No, that's good. No, it is good. What I want to do is talk about a couple of the quilts in the book, because your designs are just amazing. I mean,
thank you.
I'm not even sure I could think up the things that you think up. This is, it's like, okay, I have to talk about the one that I don't know how many people will just like open the page and their mouths will hang open, but you have the quilt called Huckleberry, which, is, you know, just, it's hexagons, it's a circle, it's like the color wheel, but it's not. I mean, it's just stunning. Tell me a little bit about how you came up with that quilt.
I'm trying to remember specifically. I think I wanted to do something with hexagons and something different. And I think I just kept playing with it until the design finally emerged.
So were you thinking like, you know, sort of a color wheel feel when you were designing that one? Because it is a it could be a circular quilt. I mean, if you didn't want to, you have it square to make it easier to hang, but it could actually be a circle.
Yeah, I think in writing a rainbow book, I wanted to have a quilt that could be a color wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you mentioned that, that was the idea behind it. So I feel like in a rainbow book, you've got to have something about a color wheel, right?
Right. And, you know, of course, but it's perfect because it's very unexpected. And it's not what I think was, it's just, you know, very, very clever. You were doing a tour of your book, a blog tour where other people talked about your book and made different things. One of the ladies did this in a totally different color way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Amy Guerra of 13 Spools.
Yeah,
she had, it was gray, and she used gray corduroy, I think, and she just did gray as the background with white hexagons.
Okay.
That was very nice.
Yeah, that was very nice. I mean, totally different concept for the look of it, but it shows how your design is, it's just a very powerful design when it's done in even, you know, those kind of colors. What other quilt in here is okay, I always ask authors this, you know, your favorite. I know nobody likes to say their favorite, but do you have one?
I think my very favorite is Wavelength, which is the quilt on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's definitely my favorite.
And that's a big quilt, isn't it?
It's pretty big. It's I think it's about 55 inches by 70 inches. So it's not massive.
Right. But it's, you know, if you just see the picture of it, you might think, oh, it's a small wall hanging or something, but it's a nice, you know, a nice size quilt. That's what I have, for your portrait that you sent me, you know, when I did the collage. That's another one that's much more, you know, interest to it than just the, these triangles, because you have low volume color triangles, and then you have the pop along the waves of the colors. How did you, this is where you have variation of color where like one triangle overlaps the other. So I think visually everybody can see that you have a yellow that overlaps a green and then, or turquoise, and then where they overlap, it's green. How do you come up with that variation of colors and make that transition?
I think I probably started with maybe 30 fabrics, and I had an idea, 30 different solid fabrics, and I had an idea of what kind of colors I wanted to use, and I just kept choosing, trial and error, just putting one in, taking one out, and eventually I pared it down to 18 fabrics, and I,
okay.
I kept working to see how to make the colors shine as is.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you use your camera a lot to take pictures so that you can sort of see if it's doing what you're hoping it's doing?
I will usually take a picture to send to my mom, you know, run it by her, or I'll just take a picture to remember what it looked like, because at the time I didn't have a design wall, so I had to lay it out, and then I'd have to pick it back up before my children, you know, came through the kitchen or wherever I was laying out fabric or a quilt.
Oh, no. That's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a design wall now?
I do have a design wall. My mom and I hung it about a month ago together.
Well, then you must be enjoying not having to pick everything up.
I do. It is quite nice.
Do you teach classes at all?
I do. I'm just getting started teaching. I'm looking to expand my business, so if anyone out there wants to inquire about my teaching classes, I'll be more than happy to entertain them.
Yeah. And they can just go to your website, brianhousequilts.com, and they can write you from there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So there was another thing that you told me about that sounds like really fun that's coming up for you, is that you're doing some stuff with the die cut machines now. What's that all about?
Yeah, I just joined Physics Design team, and so I'll be doing two tutorials for them a month, one on the Physics blog and one on my blog. Mm. So I'm excited about that. My first post goes up on the Physics blog on Thursday, I believe.
Oh, wow. What type of dies do you like to work with?
For the dies, I like to do anything that's kind of a pain to cut. So the first post I have going up is the Drunkard's, based on the Drunkard's Path block.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the curves.
Yeah, the curves.
What do you think is the big advantage for a die cut machine?
I think, personally, I don't like cutting out those fussy curves. I'm looking forward to getting the double wedding ring. They've got a miniature double wedding ring die coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to getting. And trying to teach my kids, my daughters, how to sew.
Mm-hmm.
I found that the die cutting machine is beneficial for them because they can help me cut the fabric, and I'm not quite as nervous with so many hands by the sharp things.
How old are your children?
3, 4, 7, and 9.
Oh, wow.
So I've got a lot of little hands reaching up.
That's a lot of little hands. Mm-hmm. Which child is learning to sew?
The 9-year-old has her own sewing machine, and she's dabbled with it a bit. I think she's a little bit afraid of the machine. I might have scared her a little bit in the safety portion of the class.
Right.
The 7-year-old is pretty fearless. She's the one that likes to help me cut.
Mm-hmm.
She's been helping me with the physics, and that's kind of a nice time for us to spend together. And I just got her one of the doll panels that you can cut out a doll and mm-hmm. sew together for her birthday. So we're going to do that together.
Ah, so I designed that. I had never thought about the die cut machines being useful to give children the way to cut fabric without it using a rotary cutter and a ruler, which, you know, that's a little tricky to, you know, mm-hmm. most little kids aren't going to be able to do that. Are you cutting strips? Are the kids cutting strips with the die cut machine?
So far, we've just cut the Drunkard's Path blocks and circles.
Okay, so it's kind of a new thing to use with them. Would you think you'd try it to have strips and squares and things? So,
oh, yeah. I have several scars on my hand from learning to use the scissors when I was young.
Oh, yeah, so that was the safety mom lesson, huh?
Yeah.
Don't want any trips to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. Not today.
Not today.
No, not today. So do you have a favorite part out at American Patchwork and Quilting's website? You know, I know that there's, you know, we have a lot of information out there. And as a designer, you know, I know you make your own things. But when you go out there, what's your favorite section?
I think my favorite quilts are the larger bed quilts and the throw quilts, and anything that has a repeating pattern or has an interesting color scheme is what draws me in.
So that's always, it's always, you search by like topic, or you just kind of, you know, browse?
I usually just browse. So I'll go into the I think there's a section on throw quilts and bed quilts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the topic areas are nice because that lets you do that browsing. You don't have to look for something. You can look for something specific, but there you could just see them, you know, randomly, which I always think is fun because you get more inspiration that way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So do you actually have a quilt that that you want to make, like something that you're thinking, like, I'm a quilter and there's a quilt that I need to make in my future?
Yes. Did you see Violet Craft's quilt at Quilt Market, the lion quilt?
Yes.
Yes, I'm definitely going to make that or try to make that.
That was amazing. It's the lion's face and all like fractured variations of solids.
I'm excited for that pattern. Yeah. I think it's just phenomenal.
You signed up. It's like, she needs to send it to you first. That was it, right? It's like, Violet.
Yep.
So also, one more question. When you go to a quilt show, I always, you know, everybody has a different way of approaching a quilt show. You know, what do you do? You know, do you look at the quilts? Do you do your shopping? What's your method of and mode of a quilt show?
I'll set aside a time where I can go and browse the floor, the quilts in the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many talented quilt makers out there. It's just such an inspiration to walk the show.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the quilts are just what makes a show sometimes. It's just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rebecca, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing about all these tips for trying to get fabrics and color order. It's been wonderful.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Everybody can visit Rebecca at BrianHouseQuilts.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I am your host, Pat Sloan. We run live most Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can listen live, or the podcast is usually up about an hour afterwards, which, of course, you can go back into our archives. If you go to my site, I have a list of prior guests. Plus, if you go to allpeoplequilt.com, you can go to the podcast page and you can see all these guests and quotes. We now have lots of quotes from our guests, their favorite tips and tricks for you. So I hope that you will join the All People Quilt newsletter. You can get to that at their website, allpeoplequilt.com, for American Patchwork. We'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.